We are in the book of Obadiah, and that is an Old Testament book, and it is amongst the minor prophets. Now, this morning, the gentleman, you know, Doug, who came up at the end of the service and said, "I'm now 85, and I've never heard anybody preach on Obadiah." Now, one of the things that we teach our students at PRZ is to know what each of the books of the Bible is about. So I hope by the end of today, you will remember that Obadiah has a particular message. You see, we look at the Bible, at the different types of literature. You know, like there's the historical narrative that you find. You have the books of wisdom. You have poetical books. You have apocalyptic kind of literature. When you come to prophecy, again, it's a different kind of literature. And interpretation is very important, that we are in line with what prophecy is about. And Obadiah was given a message by the Lord. If you look at Obadiah and the verse, the vision of Obadiah, "Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up again against her for battle." There was a situation in Israel where the southern kingdom was about to be overtaken by the Babylonians. God told them beforehand, "If you don't keep my commandments, I'll take you into captivity." And that is exactly what was going to happen. And so as this process was going on, there were these Edomites who were rejoicing that Judah was going to be taken by the Babylonians. They were even helping, you know, the Babylonians to make sure that the people of Israel are taken into captivity. And now the word of God comes to a prophet, Obadiah, and his message is specifically for the Edomites. And he's saying to them, "Yes, I have judged Judah for their sin. But that doesn't mean that you are to be able to cooperate with the people that I'm going to use. I'm going to use Babylonians to deal with my people. But I know that even if they go into exile, I'll bring them back. But you don't need to align with the Babylonians, because I am going to deal with you, and you'll be wiped out from the face of the earth." Right? I mentioned this morning that Herod the Great, who wanted to get rid of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the last known Edomite. If you read about the Edomites, they have been wiped out from the face of the earth because of the reason that we looked at this morning. They were very proud. They didn't want to have anything to do with what God was saying. And you know, these are the descendants also of Esau, who basically sold his birthright. And so the Lord sends Obadiah, and he says, "Thus says the Lord." And remember, in prophecy, the message must come from God, which the prophet must tell the people. There are so many so-called prophets and apostles today who do not have a message from the Lord. And yet they keep misleading people in different parts of the world. A prophet had to get a message from the Lord and communicate it to the people. And it's up to the people to be able to agree with that message, to listen to the Lord, to change their ways, or else they are judged. Now the Edomites never listened, and so they were judged. Israel was taken into captivity, but you know that they came back. You know, when you read the other, you know, prophecies, you find that they were brought, you know, back to their land. Although there was this period of 400 years of silence, but you find that the Messiah was prepared from a Judah, from the very people of God, and that's how Christ came. And he is the one to give life and life eternal. So the Edomites, we saw this morning, that because of their rejection of Christ, because of their rejection of the word of God, because of their pride, and they are spending all their time to raise money and aligning with the Babylonians, the Lord judged them. Judgment for those who reject Christ will come. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not. Anyone who does not accept Christ as their personal Savior, they are going to be judged. The Lord said, unless you repent, you're going to perish. The kingdom of God is coming. The Lord is able to have his own kingdom as he had initially, you know, planned. And so we see these verses like Israel will be stubble. Look at verse 18. For example, it mentions that the house of Israel shall be stubble. You know, they will be devoured. There will be no survivor. And the Lord has spoken. And what he has said is irrevocable. It is not going to change. In the same breath, the Lord says, my people. Look at verse 18. You shall not have entered the gates of my people. They are a certain kind of people that God calls my people. And these, in this particular case, we have God's people are described. Look at that at verse 17. It says, but on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness in the house of Jacob. Right? Verse 18, the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph. Who are these who are called the people of God? My people. The ones that God says, these are my people. And we are given a glimpse there that it is the house of Jacob, it is the house of Joseph, it is the people of Israel that God had chosen. Jacob, I loved Esau, I hated. Now you have that chosen people of God. And that particular line, God has kept these people. You remember how he was able to be with Jacob, even when he messed up? You know, God was able to, you know, to keep him. It's not that he was perfect in his life. In fact, Laban, his uncle, taught him a bit of a lesson. Right? He worked for 7 years for Rachel, and then, you know, Laban gave him, Leah gave him the room wife, as it were. And he had to wait another 7 years. God was working at his character. Eventually, he went and met his brother, and his brother forgave him. Jacob, God worked at him. At one time he wrestled with God. But it is from Jacob that we find the name Israel coming up. Look at the number of things that happened in the life of Jacob. His own children, right, when they were so much opposed to Joseph, God had chosen Joseph to be able to help the children of Israel to survive in the time of famine. And so Joseph goes to Egypt. He is mistreated and put in prison several times. But at the end of it all, he becomes the second in command in Egypt. And not only does he serve the Egyptians, he also saves his own family from a famine. And Joseph tells his brothers that you meant it for evil. Remember, he was sold by his own brothers. And they told Jacob the wrong story. He forgave his brothers. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so Joseph becomes a prime minister. If you want to look at the life of a man that finished well, look at the man, you know, Joseph. There were certain Old Testament characters who started very well, you know, like Samson. But his ending was a bit tragic. Okay, he repented. He's still in the book of Hebrews. But for a person like Joseph, you look at his life, he is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he was able to suffer so many things, but he was faithful to his God up to the very end. Those of us who are much older in our Christian lives, I mean, I got saved in 1970, so I'm a much older man in the country Zambia. It is very important for us to examine ourselves how we are going to finish in our Christian walk. Are we going to be like Samson? Are we going to be like Joseph? Let's learn a lot from, you know, the life of Joseph. And this is the one that God says, this Joseph is my people. Joseph belongs to my people. He is one of those that are mine. The same with Jacob. So you follow that lineage. And where does it lead you? It leads you to the Lord Jesus Christ. It leads you to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is from the sons of Jacob that you end up with the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And God is particularly jealous for his people. My people. And you know, whatever the Amorites did, and the Edomites, and so many people in the wilderness and so on, the Lord was able to keep his people. Even as they passed through the wilderness and suffered so many things, but he kept them. During the period of the judges, where everybody did what was right in their own eyes, God still preserved his people. During the time of the kings, some of them were evil kings. Even through that particular period, God was able to keep his remnant. Even when they were taken into exile, you'll find they're coming back to their promised land. The Lord preserved his remnant. Even after the time that Christ was born, there was a remnant of his people. And now you come out of the book of Acts, when on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, and Peter preaches such a challenging sermon that 3,000 people were converted, and the birth of the church has come up. And from then on, you still have the people of God. They have never been taken away. The people of God. Look through the book of Acts, how God looked after his people. Look through the early church. There was persecution, but the Lord preserved his people. Look at the early missionaries that went into different parts of the world. The Lord preserved his people. Have I told you a story of a missionary who came to Zambia at the age of 24 from Scotland? And he was a young man. He went into Lwapula province, full of mosquitoes, untreated water, and he preached the gospel. He was the only Christian at the time that he went into that province. Some people got converted. He established a mission center, and that mission center is still there up to today. I remember going to preach there. But this young man died in Zambia preaching the gospel. You know, he gave his life to preach the gospel. There are missionaries that God preserved in one way or the other, or preserved their work so that their work can be able to continue. God is going to look after his people. He has made it very clear that my people are not going to be destroyed. Look at verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Right? There shall be deliverance at Mount Zion. Verse 21. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's kingdom. So the Lord will come on Mount Zion, where there will be judgment and deliverance. Does Mount Zion remind you of the cross of Calvary, where there was judgment and there was deliverance? Anyone who does not believe in the cross of Christ is judged at the cross. And anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is delivered, you know, at the cross. God's people are not going to be destroyed because they are in the Lord. He says there is going to be holiness for the people of God. Look at verse 17. They shall be holiness. And remember, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because of their hungering, you know, for righteousness, the Lord has imputed his righteousness on them. He has given it to them. And so that they are preserved from the world. We don't have any righteousness of our own. We are only given the righteousness that comes from Christ. See, there's no one who can change us in this world apart from, you know, the Lord. No one whatsoever. We cannot change ourselves. There is no king in the world that can change my heart. Only the Lord Jesus Christ who made me can change my heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yes, we may be poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt as it were. But then when we are, you know, mourning and crying out for the Savior to come and change us, and we are hungering for this righteousness, he is going to impute that righteousness on us. He is going to give it to us because we believe, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not destroy those who are humble and they repent and believe, you know, in him. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands men everywhere to repent. And those that repent and are in him, they are going to be kept throughout the generations. You know, in these verses here, there's a description of how the house of Jacob is going to possess Esau's possessions. Apparently Esau had this mountain place which was very nice and so on. But if you look at these verses very carefully, you'll find that the Lord says, even what Esau possessed, the people of God are going to possess. Alright? Look at this. Verse 19. The south shall possess the mountain of Esau, and the lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captives of the host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. The captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. The saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The people of God are going to reign over enemy territory. That's what the Lord is saying there. The kingdoms shall be the kingdom shall be the Lord's kingdom. There is going to be a complete rule by God. God's completeness, ruling over all. There is no one else who can challenge God anywhere in this universe. Completeness of God's rule is going to come. Whether we like it or not, it's going to come. There are people who appear very prominent just now in the world, but they will go. There were others before them. Remember the time when Rome was a superpower, and God deliberately put in the Apostle Paul there, so that the gospel could spread using the economic activities. You know, Rome was a superpower, and the Lord used it in so that the gospel could spread into Europe. Those kingdoms have gone. They're no longer there. But the gospel has continued. There were people who were saying, let's get rid of Christianity. What has happened? It has grown. It has grown. One of the humorous stories has to do with the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, where I remember when I was at university, the talk amongst young people was Marxism, Marxism, Marxism. That's what we want. And so Russia gave bursaries to African students to go and study in Russia so that they can pick up Marxism and bring it to Africa, as it were. But you know that at a certain point, you know, that kind of kingdom really collapsed. You know, countries became independent. And there are so many countries that were under that, they are totally different now. And what has happened, which the media won't tell you, is that a number of these young people who came from Africa, who had been through Scripture Union, and they had become believers, and they went to study in Russia, they have started churches there. Right? Marxism was aiming at religion is the opium of the people. Get rid of it. But instead, the church has grown. That's not something that will come in the news. The church has grown through the very people that were supposed to embrace Marxism. And when you go to Zambia now, the university is no longer debating Marxism. The church has grown. From where it was struggling, now it has grown, and it is still growing. No one can stop the spread of the gospel in this world. The kingdom shall be the Lord's kingdom. His rule will be complete. What does this all mean for us in Helsham today? Does Christ care for the Christians here? You know, the few that are here. By the way, you are not few. You know, the disciples were only 12. And I think you are 12 this morning. Remember the disciples? They were only 12. And they impacted the whole world with the gospel, including my village. Just the 12 disciples. And so if you are the people that are praying, I'm told you have 100% turnout for prayer, which is very rare in this world. I remember I was a pastor in Zambia, and when we call for a prayer meeting, there will be fewer people. When we say we are going to have a social and have food, the place will be packed. But if you can have a church where there's 100% turnout for prayer, the Lord may be doing something in that place. Keep on praying that the Lord may be able to look after, you know, His people in there. God cares for His people even in this place. There is spiritual care. You know, we are saved by grace. We cannot be able to save ourselves, and therefore, when we are in the Lord is going to keep us. We are not going to lose salvation. There are those people who say, you know, you can easily lose your salvation. You didn't save yourself. You didn't bring yourself to salvation. Christ saved you, and so Christ is going to keep you to the very end. And so we are looked after by the Lord. All we need is to carry on, you know, the means of grace that God has given us. If you are a child of God, you put into practice what God has done in your life. Your reading of the scriptures, your listening to the sermons, your times of prayer, you know, your evangelism, you know, just show the fact that there has been a change in your life. It ought to show. You don't need to struggle to show what has happened. You know, if a baby is born, it's born and it's going to live. And so if you are a born-again Christian, there must be a change. I referred to James this morning. There are two ways to live. If you are born again, then there must be fruit that should follow for those that are born again of God. And so he's able to care for each and every one of us spiritually. Remember how much he was able to care for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul may have had his own struggles spiritually, but the Lord kept him. The Lord is able to also care for us in our physical needs, in our material needs, because he has told us the same. And again we see it in the life of the Apostle Paul, how the Philippian church was able to care for him materially. And so when we are struggling with our health, remember we need to be close to the Lord. When we have lost our jobs, you know, when we don't have enough money for heating when winter comes, the Lord will take care of his people. I mentioned the early missionaries. God took care of them. The church worldwide is growing because of what God has done. The Lord wants to keep the lampstand in this particular place because he wants the witness to go out to the community. There was a revival. I mean, there are many revivals in this country. I think the last one they talk about, was it 1904 in Wales? And you know what revival means is it is the church that is revived. The church is in tune with God. Wherever there has been a revival, people have been praying. It's not a formula that when you pray there will be a revival, but where there has been revival, people have been praying. It is when the Christians are in touch with their God, when the believers are following, you know, the scriptures as they have been given to us, that the Lord is able to affect the community around. The people there don't know. The politicians we have, they have nothing to do with scriptures. Some of them even don't even want to read the history that this church, I mean this country was founded on Christian principles. They don't even want, you know, to refer to it. Some of them know, but they just deliberately want to promote whatever they have. But you know, the Lord is going to keep his own, and he can, you know, raise up men and women to have an influence in society, and so that Christ's name is where it should be. The Lord cares for each one of us. And whatever our situation, we may be wondering, am I going to make it to heaven? Well, the Lord has clearly said, if you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be kept to the very end. If you look at First John, I'll end with this. First John and chapter 5 and verse 13. The Bible says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. see John writing this letter. He says, if you are, you know, born again, you love other Christians. If you are born again, you will not deliberately continue living, you know, in sin. But if you say you are not a sinner, you are deceiving yourself, because the truth is not in you. But if you sin, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have never sinned, we are liars. But when we sin, we must run, you know, to Him. And he's putting all that argument, coming to the point that if you have really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sin, if you have come to the Lord sincerely, and the Lord has changed you, then you have eternal life now, not in future, but now. Those who are in Christ are eternally secure because of what God has done. It is not what we have done, it is what He has done. So Obadiah is basically saying, Edomites will be judged. But you know, the Edomites are a picture of people that reject Christ. If anyone rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be judged at the cross. But Obadiah is also saying that there are people that God calls my people. My people. And my people, the Lord says, they are my friends, and I'm going to care for my friends. I'm going to care, you know, for my people. Whether it is the spiritual or material, I am going to care, you know, for my people. And so, be encouraged. If you are in the Lord, you will enter heaven. Alright, there is no doubt about that, because the Lord has said so. If you believe in Him, then you have eternity, you know, with the Lord. And eternity begins now when you are in the Lord. We have a deposit, the Holy Spirit. We are guaranteed to enter heaven because we belong, you know, to the Lord. That is being taught in the Scripture again and again and again. But woe to him who rejects Christ, judgment comes. But for the children of God, let us rejoice that the Lord takes care of us in every situation. Even when we are just 12 in the church, the Lord will take care of us because it is His church. Let's pray together.